Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
This morning. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 this morning. Brother Donathan preached out of chapter number 3 yesterday, and if you was here, my soul, what a message he preached yesterday morning. And I'm telling you, man, it was phenomenal. But anyway, while he was preaching, God kindly centered me in on two words out of a verse that he read and dealt with a little bit, and that's where I'm headed to when I get there this morning. But I want to read a few other verses, and I had all intentions of going to 1 John chapter number 5 this morning, and honestly, I had everything already outlined out for that, and this morning I woke up early, and the Lord told me to come to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and chapter number 4, so this is very uncommon for me, but that's my outline this morning. It's not uncommon to have an outline, but you that comes here all the time knows I usually have a tablet beside of me with a lot more notes, and I've got a thought. That's all I've got this morning, and if the Lord will help us, I'll give it to you, and if he don't, we'll go home here in about 10 or 15 minutes. Amen? But I really believe this is where he wants us to be at today. The Bible said, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, look with me in verse number, let's start in verse number 5. The Bible said this, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 5. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist. Look what he says right here. Make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. And I want to say this to you this morning right before I preach. Each and every one of us sitting here today has a ministry. God has something for each, and not every one of us is a minister, but we all have a ministry. Amen? And he says to make full proof of thy ministry. I looked that up, full proof, and here's simply what that means. It means to do it with everything in you, and it means to fulfill what it is that you have to do. To make full proof of it, it means to finish it. And to finish it well. Can I say that again? To finish it well. He goes on to say this, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now listen to what Paul says. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So in other words, we can all say, as Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. We can all say that we have made full proof of the ministry. Go with me to chapter number 3 now. Chapter number 3. I want you to look in verse number 14. Chapter 3, verse 14 says this, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Boy, I like verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. What's profitable? All scripture. Not just one book. Not just one chapter, not just one verse, not just one testament. All scripture is profitable, amen? He says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm interested in verse 14, the first two words. Where Paul says this to young Timothy, but continue. But continue. And I want to preach on this thought for just a little while this morning. How to continue. How to continue. Father, I love you today, and I thank you for being good to us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. God, I thank you for loving us, and I pray, God, today that for a little while as we preach, God, that you'd breathe on us, God. I pray, God, that you'd help me to preach and, God, say exactly what you would have me to say. And, God, help me to say only the words that you would have me to say. And, God, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Brother Rodney, if you'll give me just a bump more in monitors this morning, I'd appreciate it. I want to talk to you about this subject of how to continue. You know, a lot of times in our society today, we go to church, and I believe that we should go to church. Somebody say amen right there. But they say we need to do this and we need to do that, and we need to be living right when the Lord comes back. And whenever we face the Lord in death, or whenever we stand before God, we need to make sure we're living right when God comes. Well, how do we do that? Have you ever thought about that? I don't know if you have, but how do we do that? Have you ever said to somebody or had somebody say to you, you need to do this, but you have no clue on how to do it? You have no clue on how to do it. I love, one of the things that I love to do is from time to time I love to teach, and I love to help younger people and teach them on different things. There were several times when we was building this building and somebody would say, hey, preacher, do this. And I would respond, I'll be glad to if you'll show me how. If we're going to finish, and I'm primarily preaching to the saved this morning, if we're going to finish our race with joy, and if we're going to be able to say, as Paul said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. In other words, what Paul is saying is this, I have made full proof of what God had me to do. We're going to have to continue. But how are we going to continue? I love reading the verses prior to this, and reading the verses prior to this, you know that Paul is talking about the way that it will be in the last days. He's talking about, well, let's just see what he says. He says this in verse number 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came upon me at Antioch. And he goes on and he says that the Lord delivered him out of all of them. He talks about in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So what he is saying is this, this thing's not going to get no easier. Are you with me this morning? You said, preacher, I come to be encouraged. Well, stay with me and maybe we'll get encouraged. But the truth of the matter is this, serving God is not going to get any easier. The truth of the matter is this, serving God and living for Jesus is not for a bunch of wimps. It's not but for a bunch of lily-livered cowards. Serving Jesus gets tough every once in a while. I was teaching Sunday school, and in teaching Sunday school this morning, I was talking about several things, and I made mention of one thing, and I'm not going to go into it because we're live feeding, but man, I have been persecuted about by a group of preachers, and even right now, they're attacking me over some things, and it's nothing doctrinal. I've got Bible on there. Hey, we've not changed one thing around here, by the way. We're still singing the same songs. We're still preaching out the same. Amen goes right there. And the truth of the matter is this, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Not everybody's excited about you being saved. Not everybody's jumping for joy because you're trying to serve Jesus. Not everybody's excited because you're trying to live right and walk right and do right. The day will come when it gets worse. And if we're going to be able to say as Paul did, but I fought a good fight. Did you notice what he said? I fought a good fight. Why did he state it that way? Because the Christian life is a fight. It's not a physical fight. And what I mean by that, me and Zeb's not going to duke it out today. I wouldn't do that to him. Me and Zeb's not going to duke it out today. But what Paul is saying is every morning of your life that you wake up, if you're saved, there's two people that wakes up. An old man and a new man. Romans chapter number 7 deals with it. And the old man wants to act like this. And the new man says we're supposed to act like this. I've used this illustration before, but let me use it again. You remember the story or the old cartoon, Tom and Jerry. I mean, back when cartoons was good. And Tom and Jerry, Tom would run Jerry. And if you ever wondered how wide the walls in those houses was, Jerry had a refrigerator in that wall. I'm telling the truth. Go home and watch Tom and Jerry. He had a refrigerator in the wall. He had a bed in the wall. He had a living room in the wall. I mean, I thought that wall was big when we built it, Brother Caleb, but can you imagine how wide that wall was in Tom and Jerry's day? And he would go in there, and whenever he'd go in there, Tom would come sliding up to that hole and stick his arm up in there and try to find Jerry. And he wouldn't, and he would back up, and whenever he would stand there, a little devil would come up on this shoulder. Does he ever visit y'all? And he would say this, stick dynamite in there and blow him up. And then all of a sudden, an angel would come up on this shoulder. And that angel would go, oh, you don't need to do that. That's that. No, 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 no. You leave him alone. And the little devil would go, let him have it. And the little angel would go, now Tom, Jerry's a good guy. You don't want to kill him and eat him. Now, that might be a little bit comical, but how many times in our life does somebody say something to us and all of a sudden, Brother Bailey, this little demon sits down on our shoulder and goes, cuss him out. Now the rest of y'all put your halos away and say amen. Let them have it. We went to eat last night with a couple that and spent some time with them that we'd been needing to. And while we were sitting there, I didn't think they'd ever bring our food out. And I didn't have nothing on that said Amazing Grace Baptist Church, by the way. I didn't say nothing out of the way. But I didn't think they'd ever bring our food. I'm headed somewhere in the message, okay? Just stay with me. I didn't think they'd ever bring it out. Finally, they did. Part of it. Men left. And I said, I'll go back there and tell them. And before I could get that out of my mouth, my precious little wife had done got up and had her hand on her hip and was going back there. And I was saying, they wish I was coming back there. And in about 2 minutes, what it took us, it seemed like 2 hours to get, they had it out there. I don't know what she said to him. I don't know if she listened to the devil or to Jesus, but she went back there and the food came out. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to say, hey, look, if y'all can't serve people, just close the place down. Now y'all say amen. Quit acting like y'all are so spiritual. If you can't take care of us, just close the place down. I didn't. I left a little bit of a tip, even though I had to ask for a drink on multiple occasions. I still left a little bit of a tip. It wasn't what I would have left. You say, well, you ought not be that way. Well, pray for me, okay? But, Mr. Jen, I left a little bit. You know what I had to do? I had to fight a fight sitting there. Do I let my old man take over and me lose my testimony because there was numerous people in that restaurant that knew me? Or do I listen to the new man that's living inside of me? Here's what Paul says. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. He said the Christian walk is a fight. And he says to Timothy just prior to that, Timothy, continue. Timothy, continue. Evidently, Timothy, maybe, just maybe, had got a little tired. And you know what he says to Timothy? He said, you need to continue. You need to continue. I want to ask you a question this morning. And I'm going to give you three little points and we're going to go home. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Are you still going to be serving God a year from now? Are you still going to be sitting on a pew or on a seat in a church house serving God? If you are, you're going to have to learn to continue. You're going to have to continue. We need some people today that will say, by the grace of God, I'm not wavering, I'm not backing up. No matter how tough the going may get, I'm going to stay with God and I'm going to stay faithful. Here, you say, well, preacher, how do I do it? Number one, you got to stay focused. You've got to stay focused. If your focus is messed up, your ministry's messed up. Your walk with God is messed up. I don't know about anybody else here but me, okay? Because I know me, I can probably pin a couple of y'all on this. You say, why? Because I've been around you enough. But Brother Corey, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it with everything in me. If I'm going to fish, I'm going to fish with everything in me. If I'm going to have a bass boat, it's going to have the best electronics on it. Are you with me? I'm not going to have two fishing rods laying on the platform of it. Let me tell you the reason why. It takes too long to change what you're fishing if it's like that. I'm going to have about 15 or 20, Brother Tim, and every one of them is going to have something different tied on it. And if I get to catching fish on one thing, I'm going to take another one, and I'm going to make sure that same thing's tied on it. That way, if I break that one off, I can pick the other one right up and go back to catching. Did y'all catch that? I'm not interested in fishing. I'm interested in catching. And I love it. I'd rather do it than I'd 10 times rather fish than I would hunt. I love it. And you know what, Brother Tim? If I'm going to fish, I'm going to do it with everything in me. I'm going to read fishing magazines. That's one of the reasons I don't fish no more, because I can't control it much. I'm just being honest. If anybody wants to buy me a bass boat, I'll take it, okay? And then I'll just say, Lord, I didn't buy this myself. You gave it to me from somebody else, all right? I'm going to do it with everything in me. I'm going to be focused on that. I thought about this. Our focus this morning. Olivia's sitting here, and she likes to hunt with me a little bit. And we've got a decent deer on camera that we've been watching a little bit. And here's the way that I'll get. I have to keep myself in check, because here's the way that I'll get. Every time that phone dings, Brother Jacob, and says there's another picture, I drop everything I'm doing and I'm looking at it. I'm looking at what time it is. I'm looking at what the temperature is. I'm looking at what the wind's doing. Are you with me? And then when I get it all lined up just right, she'll walk in there, sit down in the stand, and eat a chocolate muffin and kill the biggest deer that she's ever killed. That's the way she was when she killed that 11-pointer. But this one that we're watching, we hadn't hunted him yet because everything hadn't lined out just right. The times that he's moving, the temperatures in there. You say, preacher, what are you? You're focused. And we become so focused on things that don't matter. We become so focused. I thought about this morning. One day we're going to die and we're going to stand before God. There's nothing wrong with hunting. I plan on hunting. If it'll ever get cold, I plan on hunting. I plan on spending some time with my daughter when it comes to that. But hear me and hear me well. When I stand before God, it's not going to matter all the time that I put in to getting everything set up just right for her to kill a deer. But you know what is going to matter? It's going to matter how many times I had her in the house of God. It's going to matter how much I taught her about the Word of God. We must stay focused on what really matters. Listen to what the Bible said. Let me read you a verse. Philippians says this. chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. You know what he said? He said, here's what I'm choosing to do. I'm choosing to forget the past and focus on the present and the future. Don't nobody get mad right here, okay? But Brother Stan, sometimes I get so tired of hearing people talk about, well, you know what? 20 years ago, I got hurt at this church. What's that got to do with today? What's that got to do with right now? Paul said, Paul finished his course. Paul made full proof of his ministry. Paul continued in what mattered. You know what he done? He focused on the present. He said, I'm forgetting everything that's behind me. I'm forgetting what others have said to me. I'm forgetting the accomplishments that I may have had in the past. And I'm determining, starting today, with the help of God, I'll be focused and continue. Some of y'all know this, and I'm going to move. Some of y'all know this. You go to meetings, especially meetings like we had this weekend, that for 2 days all you do is sit and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. And boy, God speaks to our heart, and He did mine. And I'm not going to say this again. If you missed it, you missed it. You was in the wrong place. You should have been here. You missed it. That's just all there is to that. You missed it. Or we go to youth camp, young people, and for 4 days, we don't have phones. Let me back up and rephrase that. Y'all don't have phones. You say, well, you're a hypocrite. You keep yours. No, you may want to talk to your kids, so that's the reason I keep mine, because they don't have theirs. They can call. You can call me, and we'll get it to them, okay? But for 4 days, you don't have a phone. You don't have TV. You don't have the influence of the world. You don't have the influence of the world. And for 4 days, we spend practically half of that time, if not more, in church. Preaching, singing, testimonies, Bible quiz bowl, youth choir practice. And we spend a little bit of time in activities, but the majority of that time is spent in the church, doing things in the church. And you say, well, poor kids. Well, don't tell none of them that. They love it. And then at the end of that, you're excited. You're ready to live for God. You're, man, I'm going to make it. But 6 months down the road, your relationship with God is so far apart. You're thinking, why is God not speaking to me like He once did? Here's the reason why. We've lost focus. We've lost focus. If we're going to continue, you have to stay focused. Number two. I'll have but 3 points, and I won't spend much on these last two. Because if you don't get one, you're not going to get two and three. Are you? If you don't get one, you're not. You got to stay focused. Look at me right here just a second. I understand that we have to work jobs. I understand that. I understand that we have to work jobs. I understand that we take time to come apart. Understand that we have vacations. You need to come apart. If you don't, you'll come apart. I completely understand that. I don't need two vacations a month. I don't need to be gone 2 weekends a month and miss the house of God 2 weekends a month. Are you with me? Your focus is wrong. That's good preaching if I am doing it. But I understand that. Understand there's times that we're going to be gone, Brother Stan. There's times that my family's going to be gone. There's times, now let me just say something to you. We don't miss church, though. We're either going to go somewhere to church or we're going to have church in our room. Did you hear what I said? We're either going to go somewhere. You say, well, preacher, you miss church for vacation. No, I don't. I don't miss church for nothing. Well, let me just pull up a chair and preach a little while. I don't miss church for nothing. I'm either going to go to church somewhere, or I'm going to have church in my room. When it's church time, if there's not a good, solid, fundamental church that I can go to, my family and I is going to sit down. I'm going to open the Word of God, and we're going to have church. We're going to have church. It's a habit. And when you get out of the habit, you'll end up not coming back. Understand all of that. But our primary focus should be God. Number one, focus. If you're going to continue, number one, you got to be focused. Number two, you got to be faithful. You got to be faithful. You got to be faithful. Let me show you something. He said this, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Verse 15, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Here's what he's saying to us right here. He's saying this, number one, the focus, but number two, is faithfulness. He's saying this, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He's saying this, just follow in my footsteps. Do what I've taught you to do. Matter of fact, Paul even says that when you study the Word of God. Paul had been faithful. Paul had been focused, but Paul had been faithful. And Paul is saying, hey, look, be faithful if you're going to continue. I need church. I need church, number one, because the Bible tells me I need church. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves. And I want to say something. If it wasn't for a few shut-ins watching our live feed, I'd take it down. Because so many use it as an excuse, Brother Stan. You're not going to church when you're watching live feed. You're sitting in your living room in lounge breeches, probably eating something, looking on your phone. You say, how do you know that? Because I tried it when I was sick. It's not church. You need to be faithful to the house of God. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Paul said, I was faithful. You can follow after me because I was focused, but because I was faithful. There's been times, Brother Robert, I back when I was sick, there's one Sunday night, I told Leslie, I said, I just don't think I'm going to go. I just didn't feel like it. I was tired. My mind was just in a million different places from all that medication they had me on and that meningitis. And Brother Josh, I'll never forget, she said, well, that'll be fine. And I thought, well, I guess she's backsliding too. She said, if you don't feel like it, that'll be fine. She said, I think everybody will understand you're sick, honey. And I told her at about 15 minutes till 6, I got up off a couch. And I said, no, I'm going to church. She said, but honey, don't overdo it. She said, even the deacons have told you it's just fine. Take all the time you need to get better. I said, no, I'm going to go to church. Boy, I come to church that night and sat down back there in the back where I sat while I was sick. And all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, there wasn't nobody saying amen. There wasn't nobody shouting. There wasn't nobody running the aisles. There wasn't nobody going to the altar. But all of a sudden, Brother Stan, out of the middle of nowhere, something started bubbling up inside my soul. And God settled in my heart and said, son, everything's going to be all right. I know where you're at. I know what you're going through. Thank God for the house of God, and thank God that I was faithful to the house of God. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to move on. I'm going to give you one illustration, then I'm going to give you the last thing, and I'm going to go home and eat something. I don't know what's in the crock pot. I seen the crock pot out, and when I went out, it was empty. I hope something got put in it before Leslie went out. If it didn't, I'm not going back to the restaurant I ate at last night, though. I'll never forget, we was having a meeting here at our church in 2016. And, man, God was moving. Man, He was moving. The first 2 weeks of 2016, there was a meeting Craig Golden got saved in. It was just, God was moving. We seen God do several things. But about 2 years prior to that, we had a youth rally that broke out a little bit, and we went a couple extra days. I don't even remember who was preaching. It may have been Brother John. But I do remember this. Terry and Lana Longworth was coming to that meeting. Terry and Lana, Terry pastors Mining Ridge Baptist Church. They've got two boys that was great baseball players. Both grown now. I mean, they was phenomenal baseball players. And during that meeting that extended, they had a game. And they had to make a decision that day on whether they was going to come to church to an extended meeting or whether they was going to go to that game. They chose to come to church that night. And that night's the night their son got saved. So I'm going to say this in moving, because I know it's going to get tighter than Dick's hat band when I say it. That service that you allow your kid to miss the house of God may be the service that was going to change their life. Faithful. How do I continue? I'm focused. I'm faithful. Watch this in closing. How do I continue? By being full. By being full. You said, preacher, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. We've got to have the help and the work and the moving of the Holy Spirit in our life. Here's what he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit of God. So when we're full of the Spirit, we allow the Spirit to have preeminence in our life. What I mean by that is this. He rules our life instead of us ruling our life. That's the reason he said, don't quench the Spirit of God. You need the help. Will you come start playing, Miss Tanya? You need the help of God and the moving and the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm going to give you an illustration, and I know that I'm going to lose part of the church when I do. You're not going to understand it. But some of you will. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's a triune Godhead. You with me? Co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent, co-powerful. They're the same. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If I offend God the Father, there's somebody sitting at the right hand of God the Father called God the Son. And God the Son, Miss Tanya, can go to God the Father on my behalf. Matter of fact, that's what he does, Brother Scotty. He makes intercession for us. If I offend Jesus, which is God the Son, that's interceding with God the Father on my behalf, then according to the Scripture, I have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, if I offend Jesus, Brother Josh, I've got the Holy Spirit that talks to Jesus for me, and Jesus talks to God for me. Now, if I offend the Holy Spirit, there is no one else to go to God on my behalf. There's no in between. The Holy Spirit must not be quenched. It's the reason we must allow Him fullness in our life. We must allow Him to work in our life. When it says quenched right there, it's not that we alter the power of God. We cannot alter the power of God. Somebody say amen. It's not that God can't do it. It's that God won't do it. Because we chose to quench the Spirit. Did you catch that? We chose to quench the Spirit. So God chooses not to do it. He's still God and can do anything He wants to, but He chooses not to do it. That's the reason it's so important that if we're going to continue, let me tell you what kept me from saying something that I shouldn't have said. The Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you what helps me say things I should say. The Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you what speaks to me when I read my Bible today. The Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you who the Comforter is. Jesus died, resurrected, stuck around 40 days, ascended back into the heavens. And when he ascended back, he said, I'll send a Comforter. And John tells us that Comforter is the Holy Spirit of God, who comforts me, who convicts me, who makes intercession for me, who's my best friend, the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to continue, he must have fullness of our life. We must allow him. It's hard to do sometimes. I say amen. But we must give him fullness of our life. I'll ask you this question I asked in the beginning. A year from now, will you still be serving God? If you don't stay focused, if you don't stay faithful, and if you don't surrender fullness of your life to the Holy Spirit of God, you'll not be serving God a year from now. I want to be real careful, but at the same time, I want to mind the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to, when I say our church, people that's been here for several years. I'm thankful for 17 years. I'm thankful for that. I hope God gives me another, at least 10 or 12. If he wants 17, then 17 or 20. There's some of y'all sitting here this morning, it's starting to wobble just a little bit. Start to use every excuse in the book. Go everywhere else but church. But continue. Say, preacher, the Bible says this open rebuke's better than secret love. I'm not calling you by name. I don't have to. You know. It's time you read your Bible more. It's time you're more faithful to church. There's a time you've done more at the house of God. But continue. But continue. But continue, man. Get your focus back right this morning. This is all that matters at the end. This is it. Serving Jesus and what we do for Christ. It's all that matters at the end. Father.